But it's fun being safe. And I enjoy to do what I did tonight, invite John to come and minister to you. And John, you got to be 98. You don't look older than 98. But I love him, and if you don't know by now, I believe in having a good time at church. If we cannot have a good time at church, let's hang it up and go home. A lady emailed my office a long time ago and said, "David, I don't appreciate all your humor you use in the pulpit. And I don't believe in having a good time in church. We need to come and be still and let God move." My wife said, "Leave it alone. Don't deal with it." Therefore, I waited until my wife went to bed. And I got on the email and I said, "Dear ma'am, I'm sorry you feel the way you do. Therefore, I'm praying now that God, when you die, God might move you on the other side of heaven for me. Because on my side, we're going to get down."
All right.
Huh? Amen. And we read the back of the book, and we were already won. And we need to live in victory every day of our life. Well, tonight, I want to tell, may I tell you a story? May I? I'm from Arkansas. Anybody from Arkansas? The armpit of USA. I was born in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And Arkansas is the land of opportunity. Do you know that? And when I was 14 years old, I took my opportunity and I left. Arkansas, to me, only looked good one way, driving over the state line, looking at Arkansas in my rearview mirror. I was preaching an Easter message in Monticello, Arkansas, 4 or 5 years ago, and I was running late on Saturday like normal. And I was speeding a little bit. I was going 95 in a 45 zone. Huh? You've been there too, huh? But about the time I thought I was going 95, I saw blue lights pull me over. And the officer, even before he got to my window, I put out my driver license and my car registry, and I looked up to him and I said, "Officer, I'm guilty. I'm guilty." He said, "Are you the man on TV? I saw you on Dr. Falwell, yeah. And I wanted to order the board videos. Do you happen to have them with you?" "Yep, I sure do." I got out my car, got the trunk open. I was giving him all four videos. And he said, "My sister loves you too." I said, "Well, bless God, let's give up for videos. And after I gave it to him, I said, I want you to have a good day, and if you need me, call me. 1 week later, I was doing a youth conference in Little Rock at the Peabody Hotel, and there were 4,000 kids, 4,000 young people in the Peabody, and I was the keynote speaker for a 3-day conference. I called down the room service. I'd say, may I get some chicken dinners with blue cheese? And the lady said, I'm sorry, sir, but we got all the young people in the hotel, and it's going to be a late 2 hours. I said, never mind, I'm going to go. And when I get back in the room, I will order my chicken finger then. I put down the phone. About 10 seconds, the phone rang, and I pick it up. I'd say, hello, and she'd say, are you that preacher on TV? I'd say, yep, I am. Do you remember 1 week ago? You got pulled over by highway patrolmen. I'd say, I sure do. Well, that guy was my son. And I wanted to tell you that he called me early each morning and said, I've been up all night watching David's video, and I'm getting me and my family back in church. We're going to serve God with everything we have. And she'd say, I think you gave one to my daughter, too. I'd say, I gave her 4 of them. And she'd say, I need to tell you. She called me after my son and said, Mom, I've been on watching a video all night long, and before daylight, I gave my heart to Jesus. Do you have any videos? I'd say, it all depends. Do you have any chicken fingers? The moment I give my chicken finger, the moment you're going to get your full DVD. And 10 minutes later, a knock came at the door. And she had my chicken finger with blue cheese. And I gave her the full video. And she said, David, thank you for having such an impact on awards day. My children are much better because they sat under your teaching last Saturday night. Well, the more of that story is, when I leave home, I don't leave home without the DVDs. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I still can't believe he let me off of going 95 and 45, but anyway, he did. And what they were saying this morning, and by his grace, you got your Bible today. Turn with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 2. The book of Mark, chapter 2. And when you find the passage, look this way. when I got to be 40 years old, my arm got too short. And therefore, I have to buy bifocals to read. I hate glasses because I shake. And I don't like to use them in front of people. And a lady came up to me at one night at the table and said, "David, why don't you use contact lens?" Duh! How dumb can she be? A man came up to me and said, "David, do you own a gun?" "Really? Do I own a gun? I got 2 feet. And when you see me without feet, you can know I bought a gun." Amen. I got good. Well, chapter 2, verse 5. Tonight I want to speak to you on the moment about the four men. The four men had a quiver fin. The Bible said the fin were born of the party. I don't know if I'm born with sweeper party. I don't know. But they have, he have four friends wanting to bring him to Jesus. They found Jesus in a house in Capernaum and teaching the word of God. And you know the story. They had standing room only. They could not get in the front door, back door, window. The only way they could get their crippled friend to Jesus, they climb up on the roof and they tore the roof up. Do you remember that? And when they were lower, the crippled friend down in the room, and Jesus, the chapter 2, verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sin has been forgiven." When he saw their faith, it said, "Son, take up your bed, go your way. Today, your healing is coming, because I'm going to touch you without even touching you. Get up, take up your bed, and go your way." And thank God the four men had four things that they did. Number one, I'm going to go do it real quick if I can. I don't do anything quick. But number one, they took the time to reach out and touch their friend. They took the time. And people, if we are all going to reach out and touch people, if we are all going to make an impact on people, every day we got to take the time. You said, "David, I'm living in the 2016. I'm loading up. My plate is full. I'm involved with my church, my family, and my job. I'm so cover up. I don't have any more time." And people look at me. If we don't have time to touch people, we are too busy. Why did John come today? Because he took the time to come and be a blessing to you and me. This morning, I told you about being born dead for 18 minutes. When I was born, I was a stillborn baby, a dead baby, a blue baby. And I told you, my mama died at delivery, and therefore my body went on the table, and I was dead. People always come up to me and say, why did they do that? I always tell them, I was too young to remember. And I'm dead. I don't remember, duh. But I know one day, somebody in the delivery room that morning at 2:20 a.m., somebody in the delivery room took the time to come over to a table and touch a dead baby, and thank God I'm alive tonight. I'm alive tonight. I'm alive tonight because somebody took the time. This morning, I told you my daddy died. I told you my mama died. I went into detail today. And when my mama died, I died. Everything in me died. When mama died, I died. Because I did not know what to believe. My mama lied to me. And I would lay in bed with a broken heart every night. And I would cry myself to sleep. And when I wake up, I was crying all the time. I wanted to commit suicide. I attempted every other day for 2 years. Because my sister was molesting me on the side. And thank God, God had a different plan for me. I wish he would let me in on it a long time before he did. You've been there? Huh? I went to a vacation Bible school. You know what vacation Bible school is? And I walked into the church that day, and a man in the lobby took me downstairs with all the youth of the church. And when I walked in the door, they were gathered on one side of the room, and nobody saw me come in. I thought, well, that's cool. I didn't want them to know I came in, because somebody might come over and talk to me. And therefore, I went on the other side of the room, and I sat down. I wasn't minding my own business. I was looking down on the floor. I didn't want to bother anybody else. I didn't want anybody to bother me. But all of a sudden, a boy, my age, came over and sat down by me. He stuck out his hand. He said, "Hello, I'm David. What's your name?" I said, "I'm David too." I did not want to talk to David, but David wanted to talk to me. And he kept on. And therefore, everything David would say to me, I would respond, "Yep, nope, I don't know. Where do you live? I don't know. What school you go to? Yep." And kept on. And every time he sees me in the public school, David came over to me and shake my hand, pat me on the back, and said stuff like, "David, don't give up. David, hang on a little bit longer. David, it's going to be okay. David, I'm praying for you. David, I love you." And kept on. And 9 months later, I got saved. Because somebody took the time. Look at me tonight. I'm alive physically because somebody took the time. But thank God I'm alive spiritually because a teenage boy obeyed God and took the time to reach out and touch my life. And I thank God tonight for David Wideman that reached out and touched my life. And let me say, I don't know where you live, but I know more than you. There were a lot of Davids by where you live. Nobody wants to take the time anymore, but you never know how God will use you if you only take the time. Number two, they took the effort. They took the time, they took the effort. Have you ever daydreamed while reading the Word of God? I wonder, how did God... How did Jesus turn water into wine? I wonder that. Yeah, but this passage, I wonder how the four men got 1 man above the wolf. The Bible says the man was born of palsy. He was paralyzed. He was dead weight. Therefore, did they go one? Two, ready or not, here we come. Three, you say, David, they did not do that. You don't know that they did not do that. I don't know that they did not do that. But I know one thing, they took the effort. And people, here we are going to touch people. Yeah, I hope we do, because the Bible says the field are white under labor. The field are white under all the labor of food. People, I'm begging of you, there are a lot of Davids around where you live. Take the effort. When the last time you wrote somebody an email and say, I'm praying for you. When the last time you called somebody up and say, God put you on my heart today, and I'm just going to pray for you. And I don't need to know what's going on. I just want to pray for you. When the last time you walked up to a door and say, somebody told me you're going through a storm right now. Well, I just came along tonight to bear your burden and get up under them and carry them. And I pray tonight that we might take the effort. 1971, I met a friend of mine, good friend of mine, said, David, what are you doing for tonight? It's nothing. I'd say, it said, good, I want you to go over to Overland Park, Kansas, and I want you to give your testimony on Friday night. I'm preaching a revival, but I want you to come with me and give your testimony. I'd say, Ted, what? What's that? He said, no big deal. Yet when I introduce you, you come up and you hang on to the pulpit for dear life and say, I love Jesus. And sit by down. I'd say, I ain't doing that. Why not? Number one, I've never spoken such before in my life, and I don't want to fight tonight, and I'm not going to do it. Say yes you are. No, I'm not. Yes you are. And I'm going to make it because I'm much bigger than you are. A preach a night but work a day job to put food on the table. And every morning, my friend got to work about 2 a.m. And for 4 hours, he did nothing but bake donuts. He a donut baker. My friend weighed 350 pounds. It looked like a donut. And he even got the donut home. Duh. But I'd say, I will go, but I'm not speaker. I'm going to pray for you. We got down to the church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, in Overland Park, Kansas. And they had standing room only, Pastor, because my friend been telling them every night, don't mean fight now. My friend coming. My friend going to sell. It's a story. Do not mince. They packed the building. When I found that out, I had to kill him. And he got up. He introduced me. I got behind the pulpit. And I hung on for dear life. And I said, I love Jesus. And I took about 10 minutes to tell them my love for Jesus. And I'd sit back down, my finger up, and he's supposed to speak. He's supposed to deliver the message that night. But my friend saw everybody were crying. They were bawling like a baby. They were squalling. And my friend got overwhelmed by God. That's a big deal for Baptists. Duh. And God literally locked both of his jaws. He could not say one word. But he gave the invitation, and he gave it like this. And everybody came, and I got down. I was sitting down, and everybody came before people, and they were all over the altar on their knees. Men, older men, older lady, younger men, younger lady. The young people, they were everywhere, and I could hear them praying to God, and they would say to God, I take you so much for granted. You've been so good to me, and I'm sorry for being complaining, and God, if you can use that boy, you can use me. And that's the night God called me to preach the gospel. Huh? I'm a preacher tonight because a donut man took their effort. And people listen to me. I believe with all my heart. Every time I stand to proclaim the word of God, I believe angels are saluting. Not me, but angels are saluting the donut man. Thank God he obeyed God. And I'm a preacher tonight because somebody took the effort. Number three, I'm doing good time. Much better than I thought. But number three, they took the time. They took the effort. And number three, they took the risk. All I-S-K. What's that spell?
Risk.
What's that spell?
Risk.
Believe it or not, I took speech therapy for 18 years. And I conquered many sounds. If you heard me back then and heard me today, it'd be a world apart. But I could never get the odd sound down. Huh? Are we on the same page? I cannot say it my all. I'd say my alt like W's. Like my name, David Wing. R-I-N-G. Like there are many people in the room. R-O-O-M. Therefore, I need your help. They took the risk. They took the risk with Jesus. Jesus could say, "Son, I don't know who you are, but I go back up, and I don't have time, and I'm not going to take the effort, and go back up through the wolf, and I'll be on the Sea of Galilee in the morning about 7 a.m. You can come down and talk to me then." Did Jesus do that? No! Jesus saw their faith. People, why don't we take risk anymore? Huh? In people's lives. Why don't we take risk anymore? Why don't we climb out on a limb with people? Huh? And many people don't take the risk because they are so afraid they will lose their reputation. Baloney on that. Somebody went out on a limb for you one day. And why don't you do the same? Fruits grow on the limb. Fruits grow on the limb. Say it with me. Fruits grow on the limb. Say it again. Many of you don't have fruits in your life because you are a tree hugger. Leave your comfort zone. I believe this morning, many people left their comfort zone. I think everybody came on the invitation, but 4 or 5 people. But people, we need to leave our comfort zone and walk out on a limb. And people, I know what I'm talking about because when I told people God called me to preach, my preacher cut off the limb. I was on the limb. You ever been there? Huh? But my preacher did not know. There were many limbs on the tree. And therefore, I hung on to the first limb I got. And thank God, I never have fallen to the ground with my ministry, because I know many limbs are all the tree. That good stuff. I'm preaching my guts out. And all you're doing is going, duh. I'm just, think about it. Walk, I took a big risk coming to South Avenue. Who do you know that doing a job for 43 years? Same job. And still don't know what the pay cut is. Huh? I might leave with nothing. If I do, I'm still around. I'm only kidding. Yeah. But people, I do that week in, week out, week in, week out. And I'm taking the risk. 1972. Mom preacher invited two men to come and lead us in revival. One was a singer, Bill, and the other one is the preacher. And they were both in full-time evangelism. And they came out of a side door about 5 till church time. And when they came out of the door, I started laughing at them. Because people, when I got saved, I became a wing leader. R-I-N-G-L-E-A-D-E-R. Don't I impress you with my brain? Duh! And whatever I did, all the youth were doing, therefore they burst out laughing. And we laughing at them because both of them had on loud suits. I mean, purple suits. You know Barney on TV? I love you, you love me. One looked like Barney, and the other one looked like Baby Bob. And both of them had on boots. Not cowboy boots, but go-go boots. White patent leather go-go boots with a zipper on the side and a heel on each shoe, about like that. I say, stay away from me. My mama told me about people like this. But the song evangelist got up and started singing Amazing Grace. I'll tweet the sound that saved one club me. He went into a Bill Gaither number. Jesus, 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 there is something about the name. Less than 30 seconds, we were eaten out of his inn. He set the table well. And the preacher got up to preach. And the same thing. In less than 30 minutes, we were sitting on the edge of a seat with a mouth. And we came every night because we never knew what God was going to do. It was the greatest move of God. We went 8 days, Sunday to Sunday. Do you remember 8 days revival? 14 days revival, huh? And the last morning, that Sunday morning, they came up to me in the lobby and said, "David, we've been watching your life. You love God, don't you?" I'd say, "I love God with everything in my body. I cannot do enough for God. In fact, when I got saved, I went to my preacher and said, 'Preacher, I want to do the dirtiest job you have got in the church.'" And I said, "Give me the job without pay of cleaning the bathrooms all over the church." And for 3 years, I every Monday morning, every Thursday morning, I came and I cleaned the bathroom. I'm a good bathroom cleaner. I'm not meant to clean. You get eat off the floor when I get through with it. And many of you don't believe me, but I'm telling you, one day when I was on my knees in front of the toilet, I lifted my hand and I was not praying. I was cleaning the toilet. And I'd say, "God, if this is for you woman to do until the day I die, you can count on me." God see the heart, don't we? The two men came to me and said, "How will you like to go with us? You will come in every other Thursday and give your life story on Youthquake night." I'd say, "I love to do that." And the next day, I went out and I bought me a loud suit. And yep, in downtown Kansas City, I was able to find me some white patent leather go-go boots, 10D, my size, and my zip-up, and the evil man, John. I was having the time of my life. And I traveled with them for 2 years. 20 years later, Clyde called me up. He said, "David, Betty and I going to come to Orlando. We're going to stay with you and your wife and 4 kids. And you're not going to charge me a dime." And I take order pretty good for my elderly statesman. And he said, "David, I want to leave the kids and the wives home. I love St. Louis baseball. I love St. Louis corner, and you are driving me down to St. Petersburg, and we're going to watch many baseball games." And for the next 5 days, that's what we did. We saw many games. And one night, one afternoon, we were in the stand behind home plate, and I look at him, I say, "Clyde, what did you ever see in me 20 years ago? How do you know God going to use me like that?" He said, "David, I'll be honest. You were the topic of conversation every night after the revival at the hotel." Jim and I did not know, but God laid it on my heart to give you a platform. And David, you don't know avid story. When you come to town, when you meet the preacher, when you start talking to the preacher, they freak out because they say, I can't understand the dude. And it said, over 2 years, many preachers tried to shut you down. But the Lord is on my side. And God, a glad child, took a window back for me. And it said, preacher, I guarantee you, if David speaks, your people gonna be blessed. If I told one of the preacher, everybody know him, Dr. Charles Stanley. But I said, Dr. Stanley, I promise you will be able to understand enough. And that night, I first Baptist Church of Atlanta. I will give my life story. I didn't know anything, but tears were just coming down Dr. Stanley's face. And when I got through, he came over and he gave me a big old bell hug and said, I'm so sorry, David. I judge a book by its cover. I didn't even know what he was saying. But thank God, two men took the risk. Every time I stand and speak, angels salute. Not me, but a donut man, a boy by the name of David, a hospital attendant, and Clutch Out and Jim Manil. They are children. Look at me. Try to imagine heaven applauding them at this moment. And guess who leading the applause? My dear old mama. My boy got saved. My boy gonna be okay. Thank God for heaven applause on our lives. They took the veil, they took the time, they took the ever, they took the wind and light, but not least, they took the love. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith, hope, love. These things remain, but the greatest of them is Jesus said, they will know you are my disciple because you have love for one another. And Paul said, you must speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love. You are nothing but a temple. A symbol. It's one thing to say, I love people. It's another thing to show it. Look at me. When the last time you took a family out to eat, after Sunday morning service, a family that you never met. When the last time you took somebody that you did not know that were in church, they were a guest of Fourth Avenue. But today you'd say, come on with us. We don't have much money, but we will spray what we do. And we may even go home because you get more water in a pot of chili. Huh? People, we don't love. I found out what love is when I got married. September 5th, 1981, not the love you are thinking about, but love for a lady 20 years old saying hand in hand, I do, and we did, but she did not know what she was doing. My wife loved me unconditionally, she loved me through pain. It takes me about 10 minutes sometimes. I get stuck on the couch and I can't get up. It takes me over 10 minutes to go to the bathroom 8 feet away. 10 minutes. She saw me in bed, white with pain, and she said, I love you. My wife saw my needs. And thank God, like this morning, I told you, I have a problem with budgeting my shirt. Do you remember that? These budgets, I despise. The budget under the knot of my tie is still from the pit of hell. And it will always be from the pit of hell. Because it put me in the flesh, vanished to the end of the day. But you know what God did? God so loved David. God gave me a wife who loved the buttons. She can button my button without looking at me. That what blew my mind. I had a 6 a.m. flight. I was flying to somewhere to speak. And the earlier I get, the more shaky I get. And believe me, that morning, no buttons. And I thought, well, she's sleeping. I got to wake her up. She's snoring loud. And I walk over to the bed and I tap on your arm. I said, baby doll, I need help. And she turned over, still snoring, and she buttoned all my buttons, still snoring. They say when you do it enough, you can do it in your sleep. How many of you been through a buffet? B-U-F-F-E-T. What do you do on a buffet? You hold your plate and you dip food. How many of you ever been to a buffet? And you dip food on your plate. Look at me. I'm 62 years old. I've never been through a buffet line by myself. Because I cannot hold my plate with my hand and put, I got to hold my plate elbows in my side and I get a good grip. And somebody God to help me. But you know what God did? God so loved me. He gave me a wife who loved to fill my plate. When you watch, when you eat with me, watch out for flying food. I can put mashed potatoes on the wall, that's to be anybody. I have four children and three dogs. And my wife made a rule at all hours. A rule. R-U-L-E. Are we on the same page? Nobody sit down at the table until that plate is full. I love that rule. R-U-L-E. And I got three dogs, Maltese dogs. The one with 4 pounds, 6 pounds, 7 pounds, and they fully grown there. And every time I open the garage, they start barking. They were yapping, or they would drive me insane. And then I found, I learned dog vocabulary. They were saying to each other, when I came home, they'd say to each other, oh boy, daddy home. When daddy home, mama cook. And when mama cook, daddy ate at the table. And every time I sit down at my seat at the table, I go, Dad, you say all you want to, we got you covered. Below, let it fall, we got you covered. They all three are dead today. But they are probably over so much table food. You wonder about the wag. I get pneumonia about 4 or 5 times a year because my saliva don't operate normally what's normal. But some of my saliva is zip in my lungs, and over time, the lungs get full. They almost launched me in 2010. But therefore, my doctor said, we got to come up with a way to clean your saliva. You need to get a rag, because when I preach, I get cotton mouth bad. And I keep my mouth wet. And somebody got me a cup of water tonight. Do you see the water? If you need to stand to see the water, you got my permission. Somebody got the water for me, but what's so sad, I've been preaching for 43 years, and I never drank water by myself on stage. I would say over and over, leave it alone, do not drink water. Therefore, I can't drink the water by myself, but I'm still thirsty. Failed the water. I can't drink the water by myself because if I do, it will go all over the floor. And I train myself, leave the cup of water alone, but I'm still thirsty. This do the trick, but that better than me. But I can drink the water by myself, but I can't if somebody help me. I'm thirsty tonight. Help the water. I can drink the water by myself, but I can't if somebody help me. I'm thirsty tonight. I can drink the water by myself, but I can't if somebody help me. I'm thirsty tonight. I can drink the water by myself, but I can't if somebody help me. It took you long enough. What's your name?
Richard.
Richard, I want you to stand face me. I'm going to do the work. I want you to hold the cup with both hands from the bottom. Do not let go. Do not let go until I'd say let go. When I'd say let go, you let go slowly. Do you understand? You shaking too. He got cerebral palsy too. But people, you take this so much for granted, don't you? It take me overtime. Lower that cup a little bit. Thank you, sir. Now turn it slowly. Turn loose. Turn loose. I'm not thirsty anymore because a man named Richard took the time, the effort, the risk, and Richard, you got tears in your eye. Your eyes are leaking. They are good things. I love you, my man.
You
thank you for helping me. No. Thank you, man. Now, people, do you realize I just gave you an opportunity, but you did not come? You can say, David, I don't know if you want me to come. I told you 6 times. You're Baptist. But 6 times, your theme song is, I shall not be moved. Now look at me. I'm closing. How many of you wanted to come? Don't give me the Baptist. I love the Baptist. I'm Baptist, and I love. Don't go over your head. If you go over your head, you are charismatic. Keep it down. Below the head. One more time. How many of you wanting to come? Put both hands up. Both hands. Both hands. Why didn't you? Huh? Jim, I thought you would come. I'm on my brain dead. But Jim, you are the closest person to the water. Huh? But I thank God for Jim not coming because your mentality, that's what we paid the staff to do. That's why I'd sit you down. Normally, we get with the staff, but I was running late tonight. What's your name, sir?
Jerry.
Huh?
Jerry.
Shake my hand. Let me ask you, why didn't you come on stage?
Honestly, I don't know.
I don't know. Typical Baptist. I know why you didn't come, because you blew it. I gave you an opportunity, but you didn't take it. I love you. I love you. I love you, ma'am.
I love you.
What's your name?
Renee.
Renee, I love you, baby. I got four girls. I love you. What's your name?
Richard.
Huh?
Richard.
Are you a member of the church?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Why did you come?
If you wanted me to come or not.
What? Say it louder. Don't mumble like I do. You didn't know? I told you six times. Huh? What's your name, ma'am? Patsy. Your name? I love you. I love you, baby. Thank you for coming.
Sir, now, I love you.
You were a little bit too late. I love you. I love to go around tonight and touch every one of you and tell you I love you. I do. But I won't take that time. I won't take that effort. I will catch you leaving tonight. But people, why did you come? I gave you an opportunity, but yet it slipped away from you. If I told you now, I'm still thirsty. There was a little bit of water in the cup. Y'all will kill each other. Huh? Y'all will kill each other to come on stage. But people all around you are begging for water. There are Davids out there living in your neighborhood. They are begging for water, not H2O, but living water. Saints of God, children of God, wake up and seize the moment and let God use you to take living water to a bunch of Davids out there. Where will I be tonight? If Richard did not come. Yes, I will get through the day. But you make it a little easier for me to make it through today. Tonight, I'm going to give an invitation for the pianos. Go over there to the bench. Don't play anything and do what I tell you to do in my unsafe place. Do you know I'd surrender all? Do you? Okay, well, I'm going to allow you to pick out the song, but don't touch the keyboard. And when she begins singing, I'm going to quit talking. And I want every one of you, who blew it tonight, I want you to come to the altar. Don't kneel, stand, face in the front. But God, after everybody come, I will pray with you. And then I will send you back to your seat. You blew it while ago on my invitation. I'm begging you tonight, don't blow it on God's invitation. Do you understand the invitation? If you do, shake your head. Huh? Are you ready to come? I don't want anybody to leave. Don't even think about leaving. You say, preacher, you know how long you preach tonight? Yes, I do. It will be easier on the body to coach through life. It'd be easier for me to lay back and say, I done my duty. But no, I'm not home yet. If you don't like me, hang in there. Because I'm still in the oven. Huh? God's still in the kitchen. And one day, when God can finish cooking with me, he's going to open the oven and pull me out and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You blew it while ago. Are you ready to step up to the plate? One, two, three. Stand to your feet and start walking. I do, Lord. All to thee, my blood savor, I surrender. Now look at Bill. Like this morning, Pastor L. God, did I walk tonight? Look about you, Jim. You look, but look with a shameful eye. You blew it. But thank God for GRACE. Great when we blow it. Huh? And God, so God give us a little more grace And Mom finna look at me. I know every one of us going to blow it, but thank God. It'll be remembered tonight. It'll be remembered taking the time, the effort, the words, and the love. I guarantee you, you church will double in 1 year. The preacher told me what. How many people you normally have on tonight, but this number much bigger than that number. It's not about me. It's not about John or Eugene. It's about him. And when we obey him, God will open up the window of heaven and pour it out. Only. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's pray together. I want every one of you to pray this prayer out loud after me. Just say these words out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm so ashamed tonight. I'm not doing all I can to reach out and touch people. I've been blowing it. You know I have. I know I have. Thank you for speaking to me. The best way I know how. I'm stepping up to the plate. The best way I know how. I'm asking you to use me. If you can use Brother David, you can use me. I don't have any excuse. God will use anybody. If they want to obey. Lord Jesus, I love you tonight. Say again.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
One more time.
Lord Jesus, I love you tonight.
With every bow, every eye closed. Take about 20 seconds. Just to tell Jesus in your own words how much you adore him, how much you appreciate him for not giving up on you. Tell him how much you love him. Lord, I fell in love with the church this morning. I've never been to South Avenue, God. I did not know what to expect. I know my favorite preacher obey you and go on Facebook one night. And invited me to come. We did not meet personally, but over Facebook in the messenger, we send messages, yeah, I will come. We set the date. The devil doing everything. He did everything to get me throw off on today. I almost did not come, Lord. And you know my heart. I wanted to come. But there are so many obstacles in my way. And Father, every day I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. If we walk by faith and not by sight, you are going to bless every time, every effort, every word. You're going to bless a love of more people. Lord, I love you. think of a use, it means none. You, guy, you don't need me. You don't need anybody, but you want to have fellowship with me on a daily basis. And my soul is crying out for you and say, I love you. I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name.